Heavenly Father, I count it a privilege, Lord, to share of your word, to speak as your oracle and to be used of you. And I pray this morning as we, Lord, dissect your word, that by grace, Father, we will not handle your word in an ineffective manner, but by your unction, which only you can give, I pray that words of life will emanate this morning, that we will all go away blessed and touched by your spirit. Heavenly Father, I am a mere tool that you use to bring about your purpose. Fill me, use me, to the glory of your name I pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to speak about a topic which we all know very, very well, but I just want to bring a small dimension that many people might not look at very often, and that is on the topic of love. And if I were to title today's sermon, I will call it Love, Love, Love. We have, I don't think I need to, beat the horse any longer. We love one another. I know that. But there are certain things also in this topic of love that I want us to look at a little bit closer. And that is why I want to share what I want to share this morning. And first of all, let's open to the book of 1 Samuel. And I want to read the accounts of the story of two men who loved each other, and that love being a love of friendship. And that's where I'm going to start today. First Samuel, chapter 18. The last person to get there, if you just say I'm there, I will read. Of course, nobody will say they're there. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had ceased speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword and to his bow and to his belt. And David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with timbrels, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women spoke to one another, and they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul watched enviously David from that day and onward. And it came to pass on the next day that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David escaped from his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee in marriage. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, Who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? And it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite in marriage. And Micah, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, and that she might be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore, Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in one of the two. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, Speak with David secretly and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now, therefore, be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spoke those words in the ears of David. And David said, Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, On this manner spoke David. And Saul said, Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall in the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the appointed days were not yet expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full number to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, in marriage. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much esteemed. Excuse me. In this story, we see two sides of a coin. One in which King Saul, the father of Jonathan, hated David just because the Lord had left Saul and he knew that the Spirit of the Lord was with David. And the other side of the coin, his son, Jonathan, just loving David and his heart being knit with that of David. And I said love, 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 because today we are going to talk about a love, a lot of love. Now, in the Bible, we see these stories of love, in the old stories of love, God loving us, men loving men, God's loving men in the Old and in the New Testament. whenever we read about love in the Bible, there's only one word that we normally use, and that word is love. It's an English word. And in the old English word, we use the word charity. They mean the same thing. But in the New Testament, because the New Testament was written in Greek, there's more than one word that is used to describe love, because there are different types of love. When we talk about love, we just use the word love, but there are different types of love. The love I have for my daughter is different from the kind of love I have for my wife. It's different from the kind of love I have for my brother, Wale. But if I were to say it in English, if I were to say, I love you is all I say. But it does not, that word love in English doesn't express the breadth and the depth of what love connotes. And that is why I want us to take a further look at this. Now, let me give you a story, something that happened to a brother in this church. This brother, and some of you might know through the story, I don't know, but I will not mention any name. He went into a business relationship with a friend in Nigeria. And the business started to grow. They were doing well. And he took care of operations, and the friend took care of marketing and getting clients. And it so happened that that friend of his was able to secure a contract with a state's government to deliver services worth about, I think at that time, it was about 10 million naira. Now, his friend came to him and told him, the brother in this church, that they had gotten a contract for 2 million naira. So they did goods and services for the tune of 2 million naira. And it so happened, months later, after they had rendered the service, that they met one of the officials of that state government at a function. And that official began to speak badly about their company. And this brother said, how can you say that about our company? These are the terms of what you gave us. And these are the services we rendered. We rendered services to the tune of what you gave us the contract for. And the friend of this brother was right there with him. And he said, friend, isn't this what? And the friend just said, don't worry. We'll talk about it later. And right there and then, he found out that they had given them a contract of 10 million naira. And so his person who he called friend had taken 8 million naira to his own pockets, and the remaining 2 million naira shared the profits with him again at the end of the contract. Well, needless to say, that was the end of that friendship from that day onwards. Now, I say this to say, because when we say we have a friend, we have to know what the meaning of having a friend, what it means. Because it's from this same word, love, that we know what type of friendship we have and what friendship means. Now, we say there are different words meaning love in Greek, but what are these words? And if you don't know Greek, we'll do a little bit of Greek today. There are four main words used for love. There are more than four, but when it comes to the Bible, you know, there are four main Greek words that we see being mentioned in the Bible. Well, some of them not mentioned directly, but giving reference to it. The first one is called Eros. And it's from Eros we get the word erotic. And some call it sexual love. And it is the kind of love that exists between husband and wife. It's a kind of love which makes people who are married, married, stay married. The good thing about Eros is that it is a kind of love that binds two people who love one another deeply together. But the opposite thing about Eros is that it is a, as much as it is a love that gives, it is a self-seeking love. Eros would only operates and it's greatly facilitated when there is something about the other party that I like, something I am attracted to. Now, within the world system, when we see on movies, especially Hollywood on TV, and you know they see each other, I love you, I love you, there's only one kind of love that you see predominates in on the movie screen in the world, and that is this Eros love. And that is why you will see people who hardly know each other, they are kissing one another. They don't know which kind of bacteria this person has brought from where. That is the Eros. And then the other part of it is that the thing that attracted you, once it begins to diminish, you hear, I no longer love you. Because it is up and down. Once the thing that attracted you is still there, the love will continue. Once the thing that attracted you begins to diminish or is no more, finito. And that is the world system. Because the world system is, the love that is in the world system is first and foremost started with Eros. Now, the other type of love is called storge. Storge is the kind of love that we have in, it's called familial love. The kind of love we have in families. The love a father or a mother will have for a child. Sorry? How do you spell it? S-T-O-R-G-E. And the E has those things on top of it that is like a line like this. Storge is a natural affection that you have towards a person. In the book of Romans chapter 1, the Bible tells us of a time that will come when people will lose natural affection for one another. Storge is a natural affection type of love. You know, some people call it puppy love. It's the kind of love I would say I have for my child, for that an auntie will have for a cousin or a nephew. You know, it's family love, a brother and a sister. That is that kind of love. The third one is called phileo. Phileo. You want me to spell that one also? P-H-I-L-E-O. Phileo. So you see why love doesn't do justice to everything. Now, phileo is the kind of love we just read about between David and Jonathan. And I'll tell you as we go on why I read this story to us. So phileo is that kind of love that a friend has for another friend. Phileo is the kind of love that would make me be self-sacrificing, that will make me be loyal to a friend, that would make me drop my guards before a friend. But phileo also has limits in that phileo gets tired when it gives and gives and gives and doesn't get anything back in return. it can get to a limit where, not that you'll hate, but you just can't give any longer. Filio is one kind of love that flourishes where it is mutual. You know, where Sister Tone gives me moi moi, and I in turn, when I make my ogbono, I give it to Sister Tone. You know? But if it's always Sister Tone give me moi moi, one day Sister Tone, we can't pastor be this one now. And then the last type of love is, which is a supernatural love, which is the love we all know about, because we read of that kind of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is kind, love is gentle, love is not self-seeking. That type of love is called agape, and that is the God type of love. Agape is a love that has no bounds, that has no faults. Do you know why? Agape is the only type of love which can keep on giving without returning, without receiving anything in return, and it still gives. Agape is a kind of love that doesn't need anything to be attracted, there's no attraction in you for that agape love to be poured upon you. For God so loved the world, for God so agaped the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. While we were yet in our sins, Christ agaped us. Agape is the God kind of love. Now, many times when we talk about love, you know, we want to practice love, as it's said in the Bible, because Christ told us in John 17 that by this shall the world know that we are his, when we have love one for another, right? And we also see, like we quoted from 1 Corinthians 13, that if I speak with the tongue of angels and have no love, I am but a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass, basically. So there is a love that we are expected to practice as Christians. But in our human nature, and because of our humanness, sometimes we try to practice that agape love and we fail at it. And why what I'm talking about is important this morning, and I've seen it, is that I think we are going to the A level of love without starting with the O level of love. And you see why I say that English doesn't really do justice to what it is, because English only tells us to love. But the kind of love that we love with is something, the kind of love we try to love with is a kind of love that God himself loves with, and God by his power enables us. But as the Bible says that if people we see, we have not loved them, how can we say we love God that we have not seen? So there is a practice of love that has to start before the self-sacrificing kind of love. There's a type of love we have to start giving out before we can practice the love that we have nothing in return and are able to give that kind of love. Now, we read the story of David and Jonathan. And the Bible tells us that Jonathan set his eyes on David, and his soul was knit with that of David, and he loved him. People who do not know God and base people of this world have taken this story and they have called it a homosexual love between David and Jonathan. It is not true. Because it is possible for two men to love themselves in this way and it not be a defiled kind of love. It is possible for two women to love themselves in this way and it not be a defiled type of love. And this is what Christian love really, where it should start when we say we love one another. What characterizes the love of David and Jonathan? One, self-sacrifice. How do we know this? There was a time when, because, okay, this is where the troubles of David started. You know that? Where somebody sees you. I don't know whether you've ever experienced this before. I have experienced it before. And maybe a few other people in this church, because we've talked about it. Somebody sees you, whether at your workplace, your neighbor in your neighborhood, somebody, or if a person who doesn't know you from Adam, and they just dislike you for no reason. You, for no reason. But they have a reason. Maybe it's because you are beautiful, it's because you are black, it's because you are tall, it's because you, Christ, most of it is because of Christ in you. Or you are smart. There's just something, they will just take a disliking for you and they will make your life hell. This was the kind of thing Saul had for David. Why? Because the Spirit of God had left him and was upon David, and Saul knew it. If there's something that somebody was before, and you are that thing now, and you are still in that person's vicinity, and that person smiles at you, always look behind what the smile is. That was what was wrong with Saul. Now, his son, Jonathan, you can imagine it. Saul had made David an arch enemy. And now his son was now knit with the heart of David. And later on, Saul knew that Jonathan loved David. Can you imagine in Saul's mind what kind of treachery that is? That my son has made my arch enemy his best friend. But God was upon, the Spirit of God was upon David. Now there was a time when in Saul pursuing David and wanting to kill David, David and Jonathan made a pact with each other. And Jonathan protected David from his father. Now, I say the kind of love was self-sacrificing because Jonathan could have colluded with his father, because Jonathan knew that, look, the throne of my father will either go to me or will go to this man who has been anointed by God. And Jonathan chose the latter. Because Jonathan willingly laid down what would have been a prized possession for him, for this man who he knew that God's Spirit had left his father and was upon this man. Now, second thing about the love you have between Jonathan and David was a loyalty which we hardly see any longer. I told you the story of a brother within this church who had a friend and thought that he had a friend, only to be forewarned by your friend to know that, wow, this is the opposite of loyalty. What does it mean to be loyal? Loyalty is at any, whatever it may cost, to be true to for your fidelity to the friendship to always be upheld, no matter what the cost may be. No matter what the cost may be. The cost may be monetary, maybe time, maybe anything. Loyalty means that your fidelity to the friendship is unwavering with the sands of time. In our day and our age, in modern America, we don't see anything called loyalty any longer. If you have a friend and you want to know how loyal your friend is, if it's a work friend, a colleague, wait till the day you are promoted above your colleague. When all of you were paddy, and you now become your friend's manager, to know whether there is loyalty in the friendship or not. In our modern day, I don't even hear it in regular. You know, there are some English words that you don't hear again, and after some time they take them out. I think loyalty is one of those words, because you hardly hear it again. But that is one of what marks a true filial type of friendship, where you are loyal to your friend no matter what it takes. You are true to the fidelity of the friendship. The third one, and in this one, women beat men. And when I say it, you'll understand why. Is emotional openness. Emotional transparency. At the time where Jonathan and David had come to the place where Jonathan knew that without a shadow of doubt, his father wanted to kill David. And they had told each other, they had given each other a sign that, look, if my father is out for your life, I will do this. If it's not, I will do that. And it was now clear that, my father wants to kill you, so you have to run away. And I'm not reading the whole story. It's a very long story. Beautiful story of friendship. The Bible says that they wept upon each other's shoulders. Emotional transparency is one in which I know you so much that what pains you pains me. What I rejoice in, you rejoice in. What I see in many friendships, even within the church, is that some good thing happens to you, I will laugh with you, but my heart is not very happy. Especially if the joy you have, I've been desiring it myself and I haven't gotten it yet. Emotional transparency is the ability to be able to say, look, my friend, you are happy about this, but I'm desiring the same thing myself. I can't be as happy, but give me time. Let me process this. Not just laugh at you, like, you know, that kind of laugh. And I say women have men beat at this, because when women cry, they cry together. Men, they are crying inside, nothing's going to come outside. They are hurting inside, but they can't tell each other that, men, I'm hurting in this thing, oh. But women are more emotional. Maybe that's how God made them. Maybe. Women, please, can you help me? Is it? Brother Tunde? That's another thing. Very true. Very true. Yes. You have a point there. Maybe there's that cultural conditioning from childhood that they said that men do not cry. But now I'm not saying that every man should go about crying, no. That's what I'm saying. But this was a kind of love, filial friendship that was between David and Jonathan. There was an emotional transparency. They could be honest with one another. They could be brutally honest with one another. You know, there's a proverb that says that the something of a friend, the words of a friend are like lashes that, oh, I'll look for it again. Don't let me bury myself this morning. Sorry? Yes. Something like that. That it's better for you to hear the truth from a friend, which is a rebuke, than for somebody who calls you a friend for you to do something wrong and they be patting you on the head. Just paraphrasing, something like that. When we have filial love, which is a friendship, a deep friendship type of love, we begin to see in that experimental crucible of phileo how God's love begins to manifest. And you see, I said we want to practice A-level love without passing through O-level love, because it takes phileo for us to be self-sacrificing, for us to be open to one another, for us to love somebody without any ulterior motive. Thank you. Proverbs 27, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. That's it. I was saying something before. I've lost my... Thank you. It takes the practice of filio for us to be able to come to the place where we practice the God kind of love. Many times we try to practice the God kind of love. And remember I said the God kind of love, there's nothing you are taking back in return. You don't have to give. It's a kind of love that can be one-sided and still be sustained. It is not very possible for us to start with agape and continue with agape without the grace of God. And so we have to come to a place where we can practice love. And that love starts with friendship one with another. Do we have friends that we are transparent with? Do we have friends that we are loyal to? Do we have friends that we can sacrifice for? That is where it starts. Some of us might have it. Some of us might need to cultivate a little bit more of it. And there's a difference between an acquaintance and a friend. I'm not saying somebody who you say is your friend, but you cannot bear the truth that person is telling you, or that person doesn't even tell you any truth at all. Do you have a friend? And you see, brethren, there's nothing more transparent than the place of prayer. Do you have a friend that you call a friend that you pray with? Because if you say you have a friend, Timo, what is the English of Timo? Bosom, thank you. If you say you have a bosom friend, and there's nothing that binds you like prayer can, you're not bosoming anything, at least in Christianity. Because that is where truth starts. That is where transparency begins. So I can say, Sister Folake, you are an angel, so I don't know what to say. Yes, I can say, Sister Folake, how you talk to Brother Debo wasn't good. I told you that before. Good, so I have an example now. So please, humble yourself. and go and say you are sorry. And then you can say, ah, Brother Bumi, Shebi, that's what you are teaching me now. You too, go and say you are sorry. Believe me, when you can be friends at that level, you can begin to tell each other truths that matter. And it is from there that we begin to develop the kind of friendship that we have with God. Because there's that agape, believe me, it's only God that can do it without ceasing. And God demands of us to love without it ending. But we have to practice, have a test field before we can begin to give without getting back in return. Because you see, when you give, after some time you will tire. You will tire. But if you have a friend that you've been practicing that with, that, and you see, there are different seasons in life. Some seasons, you might be the one giving to your friend. Some seasons, you might be the one receiving from your friend. But because you have been able to practice that season of giving and giving and giving, it will be easier for you when agape is now demanded of you, for you to begin to practice it. But you cannot be kind. And when you say agape, love is kind, it's the kind of kindness you keep on giving kindness, even when you're not receiving kindness. So it is not when love is kind, because the person is kind to me, I will be kind back. When the person is not kind to you, you keep on being kind to the person. Love is patience. When the person is not patient with you, you keep on being patient with the person. There has to be somewhere where you start. Because for you to be able to give patience, after some time, not to say, which one? Me too, I'll be human now. For you to not to be able to say that, you have to be able to practice it where, yes, phileo can be tired, but at least you've had practice. When people say they are getting divorced, I know that it's a very, very complex thing. But many times, it's because they were in a relationship where phileo wasn't often practiced, where there was more eros than phileo. When people, and like I say, it's a multi-headed thing, because some people can practice it, but if one person say, I no go, I'm not practicing anything. See, me and you, we're in the same house, but sorry, we made a mistake. At times, there's nothing you can do. But where you say that both of you are Christians, for the love of God, the practice of what makes man and woman stay together for life has to begin somewhere. And I'm saying this because the pattern of the world is now becoming the pattern of what we see in Christianity, where people love and say, I love you because of something I'm attracted to in you. Where a friendship has not been developed yet before they start to say, I love you. And they can say, brother, I love you because you are dark. You are well put together. You have short hair. You are slim, lanky. You are handsome. But the day hot water burn your skin and you become light. Well, I thought I married a dark brother, but he's now light. I thought I married a well put together brother, but Brother Wale's stomach is now coming out. Brother Wale, don't worry. You know, we'll all get there. So it is the world system is there's something about you that I'm attracted to. And once I don't see it again, my love diminishes. The Bible tells us that in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. You know what I mean? What wax cold means? It's as if, you know how you have tea and you begin to blow small by small. It's getting colder and colder without it knowing. The steam is going. That is what it means to wax cold. There was steam there before. It was hot before. But something blew on it and began to go colder and colder and colder and colder. And we are seeing it. How can I still don't understand. Well, I won't say I don't understand. Because if I say I don't understand, then I am denying the fact that we are human. But I cannot wrap my head around the statistics within the world and the church that the divorce rates in the church is beginning to go higher than in the world. There's a problem. There's a problem. And wherever we begin to put eros before phileo, we will have a problem. Eros cannot be sustained at all. Eros is a result of chemicals within the body. Period. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was talking to the Sadducees, they assumed that the way we'll be marrying and having eros on earth is the way we'll be doing it in heaven. It's the same thing in Islam. Men kill themselves because 70 virgins are promised to them. I say, how about the women? What is promised to them? Will the women continue being slaves in heaven? And that is what people want, you know. Giz. I'm falling madly in love. Eros is a kind of love that you lose inhibition. You will lose everything. Yes, but it cannot be sustained. It's like cocaine. It will high you, and when your eyes see, you go come back to earth. But the kind of love God wants for us, which I believe is the kind of, when Christ says that you know not neither the power of God. If there will be no marital relationships in heaven, there is something that God will put in place that by his power we will still be able to love one another deeply, even deeper than we were on earth. You'll ask yourself, okay, I lost my first wife many years ago. I had another wife. When we get to heaven, who would I love? Will it be the first one or the second one? There's no marriage in heaven. But there will be a deep love still for the people over there, where you can love one another without a jealousy to this person loving me more or loving me less. But before we get there, what kind of love do we practice that would lead us into that practice of the kind of love that gives without, that is able to give without getting back in return? Because that is what agape is, brethren. And many of us try to practice agape without having fulfilled a filial type of friendship. We try to practice a love that gives without getting anything in return, without us practicing with one another the filial type of friendship where there's loyalty, there's openness, there's self-sacrifice. To me, having a friend. What better place can filial be practiced than between husband and wife? People marry, and then they say that we have nothing in common. How can you and a Christian say you have nothing in common? Where did you put Jesus? Where did you put Jesus? You have nothing in common. And so you go your separate. Where is Jesus? Because that is where it starts. And if we in the church continue to practice the way of the world, without us practicing the way of Christ and teaching our children to practice the way of Christ and showing, you know, the way of the world as the model in which I see, I like, giz, you know, let it strike me. Oh, I know you for 1 day, 2 days, I love you. That love will fade. But getting to know somebody, when that person rubs you off the wrong way, getting to be able to talk to the person, look, what you did, I didn't like. It pained me. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. We're still friends, Abby. Uh-huh. You have a need. Look, this $1,000, it's a sacrifice, but I'll give you. That is a practice. All those practices, small by small, it leads to something. Because when you now come into a real relationship where you now see each other naked, because it is not something that attracts you that can be done away with that brought you, you will see that you will stick to one another. The Lord, in the book of Proverbs, it says that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Do you know why? Because phileo actually is a stronger kind of love than familial love. When you begin to practice it, phileo, it's the kind of love that we have one for another, that it's stronger kind of love when you practice it than the love between a brother and a sister or a brother and a brother in a family. And you know that family love is strong. As you say, blood is thicker than water. But in Christianity, the same water in which we were dipped and raised is thicker than blood. Because the blood of Jesus is what we share that binds us together. Let us, as we go this week, remember, when we say we love one another, what does that love, what does it look like? What does it entail? How is it practiced? Because love is more than words. To tell somebody you love that person is more than mere words. There is context to the practice. And without you having a friend that you can say, brother, sister, I love you, it will be very, very difficult for us to practice the love that we are meant to give without an expectation of getting in return. And that is where it starts. Let us be friends, one with another. Let us practice that openness, that sacrifice, that love. Because there was a time when the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they called him master and they were his servants. And later on he said that, look, he was not ashamed to call them, who? Brethren. Because truly they were his friends. I pray that the Lord would give us true friends within the family of God. Because it's from knowing how to love a friend that we truly love God. And it's from the love we have for God that we can truly love one another. Without God's love, without our agape, we can't really practice phileo. And without phileo, we can't really say that we love God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, within this world that we live in, your word tells us that the day will come where the love of many will wax cold. And even within the confines of Christians gathering together as a communion, the love of many does wax cold, where a brother sees a brother in need, calls that brother a friend, and is not able to reach out. Lord, we know that we cannot practice the love you have for us without us showing that we love one another first. And so this morning I just pray that you'll make our relationships genuine, where we have brother and brother love, sister and sister love, where there is no preconceived notion, no ulterior motives, where we can be transparent and plain before one another, where we can be real and honest with one another. I pray, Lord, for the kind of relationship David and Jonathan had, for such relationships to be amongst us, O Lord, where there's true friendship, even between husbands and wife currently married, where there's true friendship, erotic love, it will diminish. Agape love, the king and chief of all loves, is what we ascribe to. And Father, we pray as you continually teach us that we will get there. Help us to build relationships where we love one another. Help us to build, Lord, families and churches where we love one another. And we pray that you will teach us to be transparent. You will teach us to be genuine, O Lord, so that when we say that we love you, Lord, we can truly say that we love you and we demonstrate our love for you in the love for one another. Thank you, our Father. We bless your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.